We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday. My name's Andy Bunker. That right there is Randy McMichael. Good morning, Randy.
Hey there, man. It's Friday.
It is indeed Friday. Feels like the week has gone fast, hasn't it?
It has flown by.
It's really flown by.
Andy, I woke up this morning. I was like, what? I was like, hold on. What day is it?
It almost felt like Wednesday.
Like on Friday, I was sleeping a little late. I'm like, hold on. It's Thursday. No, it's Saturday. I got to get up for college football game time. Oh, no, it's Friday. So, yeah, it was one of the mornings.
That
man.
Happened to me on Monday.
Yeah.
I woke up on Monday and thought it was Sunday because I heard Sam and Greg interviewing who did they have on?
They had Ness.
Yeah, Brad Nessler. Yeah. And I heard that when I got in my car. I was like, oh, no, it's Sunday morning. It's actually – no, here we are. Whatever. The bottom line is, Randy, it's Friday. We're here. We've got a lot to talk about. The Falcons are back in action this weekend against the Saints. We'll spend a lot of time talking about that today. Big weekend in college football as well. Of course, the LSU-Alabama game that everyone's looking forward to. Gary Danielson was on the show with us earlier in the week. And as always, Gary Danielson had a lot of really interesting things to say. We'll let you hear some of that conversation coming up at the back end of this hour at 10:40. If you missed it earlier in the week, of course, we'll get to what's trending coming up in 20 minutes. Some good news from the Braves. Some more awards going the Braves' way postseason. The Hawks back in action tonight. And, of course, Georgia has a chance to win again and take on Missouri tomorrow at home. And I'm really interested in that game that Georgia is going to play tomorrow against Missouri because of the high of beating a rival, the high of beating Florida. And it's interesting because, you know, you follow all these different people that cover Georgia, right? And mm-hmm. We cover Georgia as well. And they're still talking about the Florida game.
Yeah, I mean, it's time to get over that.
Yeah. Like, I love listening to the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Brandon Adams, we had him on the show last week. It's great. It's an awesome podcast. I flipped it on this morning driving in, and he's still talking about the Florida using the wrong wristbands and making fun of Florida and making fun of Dan Mullen. And that's all fine and good. Like, I'm all for that. Like, make fun of your rival when you beat him. You got to play Missouri tomorrow.
Yep.
You got to beat Missouri tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, get over it now. I mean, it's great. It's always fun when you beat Florida. Okay, now we got to move on to Missouri because what happened in Florida ain't going to help us this weekend.
And the same thing is true that we said going into the Florida game is true the rest of the way. It's a knockout game. I mean, you got to win. I mean, if you're Georgia, literally every game remaining on your schedule is an elimination game from the college football playoff, not just Florida.
Yeah.
Not just because you were playing your rival and they had one loss as well. I mean, if you have some sort of a sleeper performance against Missouri tomorrow, you're out of the college football playoff too.
Exactly.
They don't give you leeway for playing badly against a team that you're better than. I mean, you already did that once.
That's the thing. When you're playing, and this is something that I live by, Andy, if you give a team confidence that you're better than, that's when you lose games. And they have no reason messing around with Missouri tomorrow night. Just go out there and impose your will and get them up out of there. I mean, we don't know what the status of Kelly Bryant. I'm almost assured that I'm going to go on a limb and say he's going to play tomorrow. But they got some guys that can play at the next level, and you've got to start with that tight end, Albert O. You've got to find a way to stop him. You've given up way too many big plays to tight ends in first halves. I know, like I said all week, I know he was in his tight end room with his tight end coach, and they were licking their chops. Now, fortunately for Georgia, when those tight ends have gotten off to good starts, the Bulldogs have been able to kind of stifle them. But I think that, you know, you better get ready for this team now. All right.
They have a good offense. You know that they're going to be able to score points, or at least they have been able to score points before. They scored 28 last year on Georgia, and that's the advantage that they have. They're like, and Brian said this before the show, I think he's right, they're like what South Carolina was, except for the offensive version. Yeah. South Carolina has a defense that could give you trouble, and they did that day. Missouri has an offense that can give you trouble if you're not careful. There's a rumor going around, Randy, that Paul Crane, because you know Paul Crane's in doing updates with us today. Yeah, that's right. There's a rumor that he can actually say Albert O's entire name.
Well, great for him.
I can't.
Oh, I never tried.
I don't even want to butcher it.
I tried the first time on College Football Game Time. We had the voice of Missouri on. Mm-hmm. And I tried it, and he said, Randy, just say Albert O, because that's what we all do. So that's why I stopped calling him.
But the rumor is Paul Crane coming up in 15 minutes in his sports flash is going to say Albert O's entire name, and he's going to do it correctly.
Is he
going to
throw shade? Because Paul was shady yesterday, man.
Oh, I know. Paul in his updates was making fun. Yeah. Who was he making fun of?
Everybody.
He was making fun of
Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah.
He was making fun of Baker Mayfield. Yeah. He was going at people in the updates yesterday.
Yeah, Paul was real shady yesterday.
I don't know if he's going to do that today or not. We'll have to find out coming up in 15 minutes. We'll also get to what's trending after that sports flash. But the Falcons back in action this weekend on the road against the New Orleans Saints. You said this before the show, and I agree with you to a certain extent, but at the same time, I'm also glad that it's the Saints this weekend. Like, it would be nice to be coming off of a bye and be playing a team that
Tampa,
might not be the best team in the NFL.
Tampa.
The problem with that is, like, if you could design it, who would you pick? Like a, Tennessee Titans, maybe?
No.
Or the Arizona Cardinals with a rookie quarterback? Like, there's really no reason to think that even if it was a team like that, it would go your way. Because you've had teams like that, and it hasn't.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When you look at this game, I mean, why can't they win it? I'm sure New Orleans is like, okay, we got the Falcons coming in. Even though, we try not to overlook certain opponents, I'm sure they're like, all right, we just got them Falcons coming in. It's going to be an electric, atmosphere because of the rivalry between these two cities. I mean, you already know that they don't like the Falcons. The Falcons don't like the Saints fans. So it's going to be fun down there. So can you take that kind of energy to your advantage? But they're going to need some help, man. They've got, Drew Brees, can you throw a pick to me? Can you have a fumble center quarterback exchange because of your thumb? You can't get the ball. I mean, something needs to go right for the Falcons. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. Not a lot has gone right. When you set out in the bullpen that they got 7 sacks, that's the first thing that came to my mind. They only got 7 damn sacks?
In 8 games.
Wow.
Remember Mike Bell was going to get a Vic Beasley tattoo if Vic Beasley got 10 sacks?
Yeah.
Do you think you should amend that to get like a fake tattoo if the team gets 10 sacks?
That's just amazing. I was like, dog, they only got 10 sacks. But I
No, mean, they only have 7 sacks.
Seven. I mean, it's crazy. But, I mean, they're getting a healthy, confident team.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think the Saints are the best team in the NFL.
Brian Baldinger told us that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and I heard again this morning somebody said that they think the Saints are the best team in the National Football League. So, I mean, it can go one of two ways, Andy. The Falcons can show some fight and make this a four-quarter game, or they can go down and just get ramrodded.
Mm-hmm.
And ramrodded seems like that's where it's going if you look at the line.
Yep.
And I'm talking about, like, embarrassed.
And the first half of the season.
And you go into it and embarrassed in a place where that's what they want to do to you.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, because I know we've been approaching this a lot from the Falcons' perspective of, all right, can playing against a rival, coming off of a bye, like, there's a lot of different, I don't know, factors, like arguments, maybe boosts that you can come up with for this game from a Falcons perspective. I mean, it's the same thing for the Saints, right? Like, they hate the Falcons too, and they smell blood. Like, it's no secret. Yeah. Like, they know what the Falcons' record is too.
Yeah.
They know that the future of the current regime here in Atlanta is tenuous. Like, if you're able to go down there and stomp, or the Falcons go down there and get stomped by the Saints, like, the Saints know full well they're maybe helping in ending this current era and this current coaching staff. Like, that's a motivator.
Yeah.
You want to do that to your rival, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You want to embarrass them. You want to put the final nail in their coffin.
Right.
And they can probably do that if they win on Sunday. But the thing with it is, you can't worry about that if you're the Falcons. Like Matt said in his presser this week, it's got to get a win, man. I mean, that's what you're doing right now. You're searching for a reason to be happy. You're searching for a reason to come back on Monday and looking forward to watching the tape.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'll tell you what, when you watch the film after a game or whatever, and you might not have played your best, but if you win, you still feel good because you won.
You know
what I'm saying? You can correct all that. You're like, okay, I got to step with the right foot right there, and I got to work on the technique right there. You had a bad set or whatever. But when you win, it looks a lot better. You're like, yeah, I could. But when you lose, you're like, damn, was that the reason why we lost? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much that goes into winning and losing, especially when it comes to watching, because we know the film. It don't lie. You could say you blocked that dude, but, you know, on Monday when he got a tape, I thought you said you blocked him, you know? But on a winning Monday, when your coach says that, I thought you blocked him, yeah. Then the coach would be like, well, yeah, you did kind of step. He'll get up there and demonstrate it instead of sitting there and just cussing you out because you didn't block him.
Yeah.
You lost.
Yeah. You get coached differently after a win.
Yeah, you do.
Well, the other thing, too, about it is it's just got to be so frustrating. You know, I mean, the Philadelphia game was on September 15th.
That's a long day.
Randy,
time,
I mean, it was 95 degrees outside back then.
Yeah.
It was hot in Atlanta back then.
We were in shouts.
It's freezing cold this morning. Like, it's been so long, we've changed two seasons. Our 1 week fall ended and it's already wintertime.
It's not that cold.
It's not that cold, but it's cold.
It's chilly.
It's not as hot as it was when
it's
you beat
brisk.
Philadelphia.
It's brisk.
It is. It's brisk and it's crisp and it feels like fall outside, which is nice. It would be nice to get a win also because you haven't done that in almost 2 months. I mean, you literally haven't had a happy Monday at Flowery Branch in almost 2 months.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, it should never have gotten to this point. Now, I'm with you when you say, look, get a win. You got to have something to be looking forward to on Monday. The team obviously is focused that way. That's what Matt Ryan wants to do. Julio Jones was asked earlier or yesterday if the season has been a disappointment. He said, I can't answer that because the season's not over. Like, maybe at the end of the year, if you ask me how I feel about the season, I can tell you about the season. But the season's not over right now. And that's the right mentality for them. I think it's okay for us as people that are watching this football team to wonder how we evaluate these final eight games.
Yeah.
Because for them, they evaluate them by wins and losses. But right. For us, we got to start thinking about who exactly is going to be here going forward.
Yeah, I don't want to do it this early. It's hard for me to do it this early because there's so much football left.
I know, but you know, that's what – there is a lot of football, yeah, which is great.
But
we get to evaluate these guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like right here in week eight, I mean, week 11, whatever it is, I can't say to them, well, he's going to be here, he's going to be here, because you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen next year. You don't know who they're going to bring in. We talked about this scheme-wise, who fits where. We do know that Matt's going to be here next year. You know Julio. We know that Grady, Alex Mack, if he wants to be back, Matthews, Hoop, if they can resign. We know certain guys that are going to be here next year. But those guys on the fringes, like, who are the fringe guys?
That's what I mean.
And I mean, and it's not necessarily about the play or whatever, and it's like, can I afford to bring them back? Some guys can I afford to bring them back. Some guys are like, who's ever the coach? Like, what if you get a coach that's a 34 defense coach?
Right.
You're like, okay, well, who fits where?
That's a great – exactly. And that's for me, these next eight games, like, I'd love to see Quadri Allison at some point, see what you got in him.
Why not?
Literally haven't seen him take a snap yet this season. I'd love to see Kendall Sheffield out on the field more as a starter because I think he's going to be going forward. I mean, again, win the game. That'd be great. Go on an 8-0 run. That'd be amazing. It'd be a hell of a story. We also have to start thinking about who exactly is going to be on this team going forward. And these next eight games, I think, are effective for evaluating that, unfortunately.
They are.
We'll come back and get into what's trending. A lot of stuff going on today on a Friday, including, is Brian Snitker talking about this very radio show?
Energy, passion, excitement.
He might be, or he might be talking about something else.
Are you talking about us?
He's talking about us, yeah. We'll get into why he's talking about us coming up next in What's Trending right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's trending here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy to kick off a Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get back into all the local news, and there is lots of local news today as we look ahead to a big football weekend. But the big news nationally, unfortunately, out of Ohio State and Chase Young. Chase Young is not going to be on the field this weekend for Ohio State. He just released a statement on Twitter saying this: unfortunately, I won't be playing this week because of an NCAA eligibility issue. I made a mistake last year by accepting a loan from a family friend I've known since the summer before my freshman year at Ohio State. I repaid it in full last summer, and I'm working with the university and NCAA to get back on the field as soon as possible. I want to thank my family, teammates, coaches, and the whole Ohio State community for all the love and support. God bless and go Bucks. How do you hear that? How do you read that, Randy?
That somebody gave him some money that he wasn't supposed to take, and somebody snitched. Somebody probably snitched on him and everything. But here's the fact. Remember last year, Nick Bosa, you know, he decided, you know, had the whatever surgery. He didn't play, ended up being the number two overall pick and dominant. I don't think he's going to play another down for Ohio State. And I don't think he should. Get up out of there, dude. They're going to do you like this, overtaking some money, which you shouldn't do because of the rules. Now, I don't you know, I'm not upset that he took the money, because why can't you take money if somebody give it to you? But again, it's against NCAA, it's an NCAA violation to take money, probably from a booster.
Probably.
And
even that's the way it sounds.
And the thing about it, even though you paid him back, you took it. And that's the most, and that's the thing right there. And that's why I don't see him playing another down for Ohio State.
Yeah, why would he? I mean, again, how many games did Nick Bosa miss at the end of the year last year? Eight games, yeah. And he went number two overall, yeah. And he might be the defensive player of the NFL, this year.
You know what the NFL players are saying? The NFL saying, no, don't play no more.
Yeah, don't play.
Don't play.
I mean, it.
Go train.
Honestly, like, if you ask an NFL, if this didn't happen, and Chase Young asked an agent or an NFL person what he should do, they would probably say, you've proved your point.
Yep.
Why don't you go ahead and sit down and start training for the combine so you don't get injured in a college football game and damage your draft stock? Now he has a legitimate reason to do that. Now, look, it's unfortunate because Chase Young's one of the most exciting players to watch in college football, but this isn't going to do anything to his draft stock. This isn't a crime. He didn't commit a crime. He's not injured. It sounds to me like when he says, accepting a loan from a family friend I've known since the summer before my freshman year at Ohio State.
See, that don't sound good. A family friend that you just met.
Who comes into your life right before you start college?
Boosters.
Yeah, which again, I don't have a problem with it, but I don't write the NCAA rules. Obviously, he did something he wasn't supposed to do, and he's probably not going to be on the field anymore, but not going to hurt his earning potential
at
in the
all.
NFL,
not
I don't
one
believe.
Bit.
And I'll say it again. I don't know where the Falcons are going to draft in the draft coming up. They are going to draft, though, and they will have a first-round draft pick. It would be nice if it was him.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating for tanking or anything like that. I'm simply saying there will be a draft.
They're not in tank mode.
They're not.
They're losing mode.
Yeah, they're just losing games.
Yeah, they're losing games.
I'm simply stating that at some point next spring, there will be an NFL draft. The Falcons will make a selection, and it would be cool if it was Chase Young. That'd be cool with me.
He's a good player.
He's a really, really good player. Speaking of the Falcons, let's listen to Julio Jones talk.
I'm going to be that second voice or that whatever Brock's need in the room to, like, to back him, you know, in that sense of being a coach and having an understanding of, you know, we need everybody in the room, regardless, practice squad guys or whatever, we need everybody to be crisp on their details, things like that, because it's always next man up.
Yeah, so Julio Jones is definitely the wide receiver coach now, is exactly what that sounds like right there. And Wendy was making a great point before the show. Like, if you go back and remember training camp when Julio wasn't participating, but he was there, he was basically working with guys as if he was a coach on the sidelines. Watch him during a game, talking to Calvin Ridley, talking to Russell Gage, talking to some of these younger guys. I mean, he already sort of functions that way. When you're that great, you can impart wisdom on others, can you not?
Yeah, of course you can. But the thing with him is that's what he loves to do.
Yeah.
He learned, like, he'll always tell you, that's what Roddy did with him. Roddy taught him the way and everything. And that's how it goes when you have a good player, a great team player, is that you don't worry about the shine. You will help anybody. And sometimes you don't get that a lot. But you can tell what Julio likes to do. Because he knows they eat. Because the thing with Julio is, Julio know he going to eat. He know he going to get his. All right, so he ain't worried about the shine that other people. Now, you looked at AB, he didn't like that shine that Juju was getting.
No, he
you
did
know
not
what I'm
at all.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you have that. Like Odell likes to he likes to get his, but he's not mad when Jarvis and those other guys get there.
Right, because, well, him and Jarvis are best buddies, so that's helpful. But you're right. No, Julio is perfectly fine when these other guys do well, as long as the team is winning. Unfortunately, the team isn't winning. If they win on Sunday, though, you got to feel like Julio and Calvin Ridley have to be a huge part of that.
Oh, yeah. They got to get busy, man.
They're going to have to score a lot of points.
They're going to have to score to win this game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they're not going to – that defense – has that defense give you any inkling that they're going to slow down New Orleans?
Slow down anything.
You know what I'm
saying?
They
can slow down anybody.
This could be in the – and New Orleans' defense is pretty good. That's why, you know, in our keys – and we'll get to those later on. I mean, I think we both got one of the same keys.
I think we do.
And that's going to have to be something. You got to put up points. And you got to protect Matt.
Well, that's why I like what Dave Archer said earlier in the week about, yes, protect Matt, but we also have to be honest about what we've seen that offensive line look like and what New Orleans is bringing to the table. Like, I don't think we can just magically hope that the offensive line is going to be that much better. Throw the ball quick. Have a lot of plays designed where, and I think Dave said, have plays designed where, even if it's not the first option, have an option in your progression that is get the ball out of your hand quickly. Because they're going to be bringing heat.
Yep.
Matt Ryan also missed the last game due to injury. You don't think the Saints know that?
Yeah, they know that.
Of course they know
that. At least, you know, the guy who got Matt hurt, he got a concussion. When the hell did he get a concussion?
Schweitzer?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, so.
During the bye week somehow?
Yeah, maybe. They were bang shangalanging, and he just got whatever, man.
You know, you get up in the middle of the night sometimes, go to the bathroom, the lights are out. You know, Boone got me up at 1:30 in the morning this morning to take him outside to go to the bathroom. The inconsideration of going to the bathroom at 1:30 in the morning.
He would have had to hold that.
I know, but he starts banging on his crate. He's kind of yapping at me.
Yeah, like Delilah downstairs. I ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah, he's right there. Yeah. It was highly annoying. Yeah. I don't know what that has to do with Wes Schweitzer. Probably nothing.
Energy, passion, excitement.
Andy and Randy.
That looseness. And those guys love playing baseball. Somebody asked me, we were at the All-Star game for the Home Run Derby, if they thought Ronald would be nervous. And I was thinking the baseball field between those lines is the last place those two young men are going to be nervous.
That there is the voice of Braves manager Brian Snitker talking about two of his three players that ended up winning Silver Slugger Awards this season. The only team in baseball to have three Silver Slugger Award winners, Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies, and Freddie Freeman.
That's great, man. That's a big time honor for those three guys, especially the younger players.
Yeah,
you know, and you can look and see how bright the future is. I know that we just got finished seeing a young player, Juan Soto, do his thing on the biggest stage there is. It was great to see Ronald Acuna try to do his thing and try and carry this team by himself with Freddie and you know Freddie being hurt and Josh Donaldson not hitting the ball. I mean, I can't wait till next year's. You know, I'm not a big on lists, but I can't wait till next year when they come out with the top players and where would Ronald Acuna be at?
You're looking forward to list season. Is that what I just heard you say?
No, I said that list.
Wow,
because I was getting about sick and tired this summer about lists.
That's good. That's good media behavior, right there.
No, it's not. It's
list season. Not yet,
dude.
Not yet. It will be.
I thought that clip was thrown out.
Oh, no, we're never getting rid of that.
But, no, I'm anxious to see where they put him in. He's going to be in the top 10.
He's in the top 5 to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm anxious to see where they put him at.
The good news about all three of those guys.
They're coming back.
They're coming back, and they're going to be here for a long time. Yes. Freddie Freeman, who was injured during the playoffs, had surgery already, so hopefully those bone spurs are cleaned up and he'll be back and as good as new.
It's a single-minded focus on one thing. We can't look past that. As far as buy-in, they never didn't buy in. They have bought in the whole entire time. There's been a sense of urgency for our guys for a long time.
Yeah, that's Kirby Smart hitting on, honestly, what I think is one of the biggest keys to victory tomorrow for Georgia is don't have a letdown game. Like, you just had the great emotional victory over your rival. You know you got Auburn coming up. If everything goes your way, you'll be in Atlanta for the SEC championship game. There was so much stock and so much pressure put on that Florida game, at least from the outside. I'm sure they handled it fine on the inside. It certainly looked like they did on the field. Don't allow that win to have anything to do with what you do against Missouri this weekend, because the same thing that was true for Florida is true now. You lose.
You're not going.
You're out of the college football playoff.
Yeah, they need to go ahead they should have been over. And who's to say the players aren't over?
I'm sure they are.
You know what I'm saying? We're not hearing their perspective. All we're hearing them talk about is Missouri. They're not talking about Florida and everything. So, I mean, again, being a dog, it's different when you beat Florida. I don't think that they wallow in it as much as we do when we beat them. I think Florida's like, all right, on to the next, because they just beat us so much.
Right.
You know, and we've beaten them 3 straight years. But, yeah, we got to get to a point where, we won. Let's move on to the next opponent.
We'll get back into some keys to Georgia and Missouri coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. An NFL no huddle, back into some Falcons news, as well as the other big games on the schedule this weekend, top of the 11 o'clock hour. Gary Danielson's calling the game between LSU and Alabama tomorrow. And he was on with us earlier this week, had a lot of great stuff to say. We'll let you hear some of what Gary Danielson had to say. Coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bang shang-a-langin.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday, 20 minutes away from the NFL no huddle. So don't go anywhere, because it's going to be a good one. But before we do that, Gary Danielson joined us earlier in the week, had a lot of interesting things to say about Georgia, about LSU Alabama that he's calling tomorrow as well. We started out by asking him what he learned from Georgia in the cocktail party.
I'm not surprised at all. The biggest question mark was, you know, who is Jake Fromm? And I said it in the game prior to it in the open. I graded his game against South Carolina as if I was a coach. He had 3 negative plays. Only one of them was an interception. And I saw Drew Brees do the exact same thing against Ohio State, attempt to throw a ball out of bounds and it being a little short, and he threw almost a pick six to almost lose a game to Ohio State. It's what these great skilled quarterbacks do. They have no conscience. They make plays and they don't make plays. But the team is going to get better. They are young at wide receiver. It has set back Jake Fromm because he's a timing thrower, but they're getting better, especially with the Lawrence Cager. I believe their defense is getting better every week. And I thought the biggest storyline from that game was The Georgia offensive line handled the speed rushers from Florida without needing to keep help in the backfield. That says nothing but good things for Georgia the second half of the season.
And Gary, with that being said, and going back to the offense for Georgia, what did you think of Coley's play calling this week? I mean, last week, because, you know, coming into the game, that was a big issue also.
Yeah. I didn't see it being all that much different personally. You know, I was asking for a shot. I'll just go give you behind the curtain a little bit, okay, because I had worked out. I knew where James was, Coley. We've all been there. You know, when you're in a high-profile position in the SEC, okay, whether you're a head coach, a quarterback, an offensive coordinator, or the analyst for CBS, you're going to get criticized. That just goes with the territory, and if you can't take it, find another job, because that's what it's like, life in the big time. Randy, you played in the NFL. You know what it's like. These jobs, go with that. If you can't handle it, get out. I thought he handled it fine. And what I was going to say, we never quite got the shot of him. I was going to kid my buddy Steve Shaw that James had one of the four toughest jobs in the SEC. Head coach is number one. Quarterback is number two. Offensive coordinator is number three. And Steve Shaw, head of officiating, is number four, because those jobs are tough every Monday after those games. I thought he did fine. And just remember, now, whether it was Mike Bobo, Brian Schottenheimer, let's see, who was next, Jim Chaney at Georgia, when things don't go well, people talk about the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And it's funny, you know, everyone acts like they weren't critical of Jim Chaney the last couple of years.
Exactly. Yeah.
I guess now because James Coley has replaced him.
We remember he had seven plays from the one-yard line just a year ago, and I remember the uproar after his LSU play calling when he didn't run the ball enough a year ago, and the next game when he went seven plays without getting in the end zone, goes with the territory.
Hey, Gary, again, Gary Danielson joining us here from the SEC on CBS. When you see the Georgia offensive line do what it did against Florida's pass rush and Florida's defensive line, does that give you confidence and thinking they can do that to pretty much any of the opponents they have on their schedule?
I do not think there's any question that Georgia has enough talent to play with anyone. Of course, doesn't guarantee they can win against anyone. They'll have a struggle against Auburn. Auburn's a legit team. They have a championship defense with a true freshman quarterback. That's a bad combination. Gus Malzahn's received a lot of criticism for that. Kind of deserves it. I mean, you have a chance to win. It's hard to break in a quarterback and say, well, the kid's really going to be good next year. The guys on this team, you know, I've been on teams. I've been veteran on teams. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't like breaking in new players when you're ready to win. And this was a bad mix for Auburn. It's good enough against most teams. But against the best teams, you need a quarterback with a little experience, or you need a game-changing quarterback. Jake was good enough. Trevor Lawrence was good enough. Tua was good enough. But right now, Bo Nix is not farther enough along to really handle enough offense for this Auburn team. I do think, getting right back to the beginning of it, though, Georgia is good enough to win against anyone. Will they? Nah, you know, they still got a couple of areas that need to get a little bit better. And namely, their receivers have to be better route runners. Jake likes to throw on timing. And, I covered Randy when he played. Randy was a great route runner. He got the ball on time because the quarterback and the receiver were confident together. Right now, they're still not quite in sync.
Thank you, Gary. That was a fair compliment, and everybody's.
Randy's having a hard time asking this next question because he was taking a bow.
Really?
Well, he was good. I watched him play football.
Hey, Gary. Yesterday, we know that the college football playoff polls came out. Everybody's overreacting already. What were your initial thoughts on it? Because it really doesn't matter because it's going to be changed by next Tuesday, anyways.
Well, it sends some messages, but again, with the committee, it sends mixed messages, and I don't quite get it. I thought the committee was supposed to pick the top four as if the season were ending Saturday, okay? And let's suppose there was some big flu epidemic, okay, and college football could not be played for the rest of the year, and they had to just pick it after last Saturday. Are you telling me that this committee would put in Penn State over Clemson? That's not going to happen. They would use the eyeball test at the end like they always do, and they'll put in the team that they think is one of the four best teams. So I'm a little bit confused as why sometimes they use the eyeball test. This year they put Ohio State number one because they felt that they had little better schedule than LSU. Not sure if that's an eyeball test or a resume test or whatever, but I'm a little confused by Clemson. Okay, number five, it doesn't make a lot of a difference right now, but you know at the end it will. Just ask that Baylor, TCU,
right.
Penn State. I mean, at the end, they always go back to the eyeball tests, and I'm a little confused why they haven't done it now. But let me round up the bigger picture here. Somehow it wasn't by design, but it seems like it's come out correct. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We have the AP saying LSU, number one. We've got the coaches' poll saying that Alabama's number one. And we've got the college playoff committee, those 13 guys, saying Ohio State's the one. I do think those are the three number one teams. And it's probably a toss-up between those three, who's the best right now. Everybody else, Clemson, whether they've sleptwalked a little bit through this team, their schedule has not been able to get the attention of their players. By the way, I thought Georgia was sleepwalking a little bit. I think that's another reason why they'll play a little better the second half. I think everybody else is just a step behind. I think having three number ones probably is the correct message.
Gary Danielson joining us from the SEC on CBS. You've got another huge one coming up this weekend, Gary. LSU and Alabama, as you're starting to get ready for this football game, what are some of the things that you're excited to see?
Well, number one, LSU's bringing a quarterback. I watched last year's game yesterday just to kind of review where I was a year ago, and throughout the whole first half I kept saying, how's LSU going to score? If this gets over 17 points, they'll never catch up. Mm-hmm. They don't have enough offense. This year that's not going to be the case. When they play football, now, you know, there's no guarantee. I mean, it could happen. They could have a bad game. They might not be able to score. Maybe Alabama pitches an Auburn-type game, but at least there's hope from the LSU team that we've got an offense that can score points. I didn't feel that. These losses ever since the 2011 championship rematch and actually the game before, the 9-6 game of the century, LSU came with an inferior quarterback every game. This time, you might give the nod to Tua. You might give a nod to Burrow, but you come in with hope. That's the biggest difference in this game.
And Gary, when you first heard about going back to when the season first started, you're hearing about this whole LSU offense and everything. They're going to be in the shotgun. What were your initial thoughts? I know I was like,
I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
There's no way I believe it. I go, come on. Nobody can change that much. I've watched LSU play for a long time, ever since Burt Jones was the quarterback. When they had one of the best quarterbacks of all time, it was still LSU. I mean, you go there. You hand the ball off, you turn your back, you run play action pass, fullback in the flat, and you run a couple bootlegs to the tight ends. Even Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. Now, they threw the ball, but it was not with a sophisticated pass offense. This change in 1 year, none of us could have believed.
I know we don't know exactly what to expect from Tua, and I guess whether or not he'll even start is still going to be a game-time decision. I think we all think that he will. But we've seen him come off injury before. We've seen him come off this injury before. What do you legitimately expect to see from him on Saturday?
He did not handle injuries a year ago very well. He seemed to try to do too much, even though he was a little bit limited. He seemed to try to overcome the injury by being a little bit too aggressive, throwing too many anticipatory throws. The two interceptions against Clemson when he was still playing a bit hobbled, he threw both of those way too early and he didn't actually read out the play. Felt like he was trying to get rid of the ball so he wasn't getting hit. I hope he just is, for Alabama's sake, is just plays like Tua because he does have a way of getting out of sync when he thinks he needs to do above and beyond the call. It caught up with him against Georgia last year in the SEC championship game. He was waving the ball all over, and it ended up costing him plays. It's just a sprained ankle, and we all know this that have played. It's a little bit like Kevin Durant in last year's playoffs. When you're getting ready to play and you're testing your injury, and I hope Brandy agrees with this, You go through the drills and you simulate all you can. And I had seven surgeries in the NFL, and I played hurt knowing I was going to need surgery. You simulate all you can, but all the time you're doing it, you're always thinking about how does this feel for my arm, my ankle, my back, my shoulder. You're always thinking and testing it. when you get in the game, you no longer can think about it. You just react.
Right.
And I think that was the difference between Kevin Durant. He could test it all he wanted, but when he got into the game and he instinctually tried to do a play, bang, that's when it hit him. So I wonder how good Tua's ankle will be. I assume it's okay. It's just a sprained ankle. But we'll see. And the hidden fact here is that no matter if – I'm sure Tua will start, and I'm sure he'll give it a try. But the hidden part of it is Mac Jones, if he has to play, needed the whole week of practice, because this is not the normal Alabama team where you've got a game manager quarterback offense. This offense is built around Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jason Waddle. Even Najee Harris is out in more of an Alvin Kamara type running back where they get him the ball in space. This is not put the quarterback in there, run the ball off tackle, and throw a couple bootlegs. This offense will not work without it being quarterback-centric.
Gary, you absolutely lived up to the Nestler standard.
Yes, just great.
I'll tell you this, though. He's better than me at night. I'm better than that.
Still trying to figure out exactly what that means at the end. I like that comment, though. We'll come back and get into an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Who's the most important player for the Falcons this weekend? Who's the most important player for the New Orleans Saints this weekend? That and more. And College Football Corner, half an hour away, the best college football story of the year. Hands down. All that coming up in the 11 o'clock hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.